Ann Arbor's Talk Station 1290 WLBY, The Lucy Ann Lance Show. When it comes to income, poverty, jobs, and education, are we looking at it all wrong here in the state of Michigan? What actually does the data show us? Well, now we have a better view of that thanks to a new report that is out by Michigan Future. It's a catalyst for prosperity is how Michigan Future builds itself. Lou Gazer is back with us. He is the president of Michigan Future to take a look at this report. How stunned were you by these numbers? Although I know you deal in this all the time, but I thought it was really revealing.
Yeah, me too. Oh, us too. So this is another report that we did with Don Grimes of the University of Michigan, who I know you've interviewed a number of times in the past. What we did is pretty simple. We just looked at how many people are employed and how much the median wage is for 800 occupations. And then did a calculation of how many Michigan jobs pay more than the national median, which is around $39,000, and pay more than the 75th percentile, which is around $64,000. And both Don and I were very surprised at the proportion of jobs. It's like 56% that don't pay $39,000. So,
and that's only here in the state of Michigan, right, Lou?
It's Michigan only. So, you know, and for most of us, we would think $39,000 is not actually a great salary. So, you know, you've got more than half of the Michigan workers who are in lower wage jobs. And this is 2019 when we had a full employment economy. You know, you had President Trump saying it was the best economy ever. You know, whether that's true or not, it was a good economy. So structurally, what surprised us most is the high number of low-wage jobs, which we did not know going in. The other conclusion, which is most of the good-paying jobs require a four-year degree, we did know. But how many low-paid jobs surprised both of us? And we've been looking at this data for 30 years, so we were surprised too.
We've talked with you in the past about the value of education and how important that is. Yet I know people who don't have a college degree who are doing quite well. In fact, better than people I know who went to college.
Sure.
And I know this is only anecdotal, but how do you explain that?
Yeah. So there are good paying jobs and careers that don't require a four-year degree. I mean, I think what turns out to be the case is about 30%. Yeah, it's about 30% of Michiganders without a four-year degree are making, you know, are above that $40,000 level.
Okay, 30%.
So it's 30%. So it's not zero. And for those who have a four-year degree, it's about 75%. So, you know, it's not everybody with a four-year degree either, but the odds are much better in, you know, you'd rather be a 75% odds than a 30% odds.
All right. So we hear a lot, and I've been one of those to say it, regarding the extra $300 in wages a week that comes from the federal government now,
right.
And this all started during the pandemic, that if we didn't give that out, there are jobs out there for people to get. But you're saying the majority of those jobs
are
low pay.
Yeah.
Someone's got to do those jobs, though, Lou.
Well, exactly. I mean, we're not the labor market sets wages, you know, but I do think it is worth all of us understanding, you know, that a lot of people who are struggling economically, like you and I, get up every day, work hard, and it's just that they're in jobs that simply don't pay well. So so at some point, what we've been arguing is that the measure of economic success should be the proportion of working age adults or working age households who are able to pay the bills and save for their retirement and their kids' education, not the unemployment rate. You know, because you know, we had a 4% unemployment rate, and we had 60% or 55% of the workers in low-wage jobs. To us, that's not success. So as a society, we're going to have to figure out, you know, are we willing to accept that, or do we want to do something about it?
Tell me a little bit about how this report was conceived. It's called The Relationship Between Education and Income, Separating Fact from Myth to Inform State Strategy, which is going to be an interesting component of this. But first of all, just talk a little bit about the mechanics of this.
Yeah, exactly. So so Don and I did this originally in 2017 for the Ralph Wilson Foundation, who's one of their priorities is helping working class families. And they just ask us, tell us what the labor market looks like. So we did it at the request of a foundation. It turns out to be sort of interesting enough to a whole bunch of people that we updated it through 2019. And as I said, so the federal government classifies 800 different occupations. So we looked at all 800. For each occupation, you can find out how many people are employed, what the median wage is for those occupations, and then the minimum education requirement. So this report is just sort of looking at that data for 800 and analyzing it. So it gives us, they're payroll jobs only, I should say. So if you're working gig jobs or self-employment, that's not included. It's working for someone. In 2019, it's 4.3 million payroll jobs in Michigan. So we were able to look at all 4.3 million and then classify them by their wages and their education requirements.
Aren't you missing out on a good percentage of the population, particularly here in Ann Arbor, who are doing those gig jobs? And let's face it, the workforce is changing in the type of work that's out there and how we do it. So doesn't that skew the perspective?
Yes. Yeah, there's no question. So so I think the Fed has probably done the best look. About 30% of Americans have some income from self-employment gig jobs. But almost all of them also have a payroll job. There's very few people who do gig jobs full time. But having said that, you know, so if you remember the Uber commercials where they talk about it being sort of a supplement to your income, I can't even remember what they called it. That turns out to be true for most people. Mm-hmm. So, but this, the data that's available is only available. So this data comes from employers. So that's why it's only for payroll jobs.
Talking with Lou Glaser, he is president of Michigan Future, and talking about this new study that is out, kind of crunching the numbers on the data concerning jobs here in the state of Michigan. The majority of jobs in Michigan are in occupations with wages below the national median. And again, the national median is what, Lou?
Around 39,000.
I can't even imagine. $39,000 is considered a median wage.
Yeah, well, that's so, you know, that's about $18 an hour. So half the jobs in America pay sort of more than 39,000, half pay less. So that's what median means. It's the 50th percentile.
All right. What are some of the other takeaways from the study before we start talking about what you're hoping comes out of this, especially with state strategy? But give us some more of the details.
Yeah, so I think there are four big conclusions. The first is what we talked about, that a preponderance of jobs pay below the national median, 56%. The second is that if you look at, so at the 75th percentile is 64,000, 80% of the jobs and occupations that pay 64,000 or more require a four-year degree. So a preponderance of the good-paying jobs require four-year degrees. The second thing that really surprised Don and me was a preponderance of the good-paying jobs that do not require a four-year degree are not in the skilled trades, which is sort of what's out there. They are what Don calls promotion jobs. So they are they're jobs you get promoted to. First line supervisors, managers, executive assistants. There's a lot of sales jobs. I mean, it's very interesting. So it's the non-four-year degree jobs that pay well are second jobs that you get promoted to. And the final conclusion is that a preponderance of the good paying jobs are not in STEM occupations. There are lots in STEM, but there are lots that are not in STEM. So this notion that if you don't get a degree in STEM, you're going to be a pauper is nonsense. So those are the four big conclusions.
So what are those jobs in then? We were talking about for a four-year degree that's not a STEM job, that is the highest wage category in this study. What kinds of jobs are those?
So they're the jobs you and I do, right? I mean, you know, it's interesting. I present on the labor market all the time, and I ask how many people have STEM degrees, and, you know, a few hands go up, but most people are in professional and managerial jobs that are not in science and technology. So, you know, I mean, and a lot of them, by the way, once again, are these second jobs. They're managers, executives, but, you know, they're people in law and accounting and, you know, it depends whether you consider architecture, you know, a STEM job. I don't, although they could classify with engineers. So they're, you know, I mean, it turns out that by age 40, liberal arts majors are making as much as STEM majors. And because of their ability to get promoted.
Isn't that interesting?
Yeah.
So when you come out of college with one of those degrees and your parents say, what are you going to do with that? Say, just wait till I'm 40.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. It turns out that what matters is the four-year degree, not the major.
All right. So since we've got so many workers without degrees who are plugging away, trying to make it.
So it's 70% of Michigan adults do not have a four-year degree.
I just find that hard to believe.
Yeah.
Now these stats would look entirely different, wouldn't they, if we just looked at the Ann Arbor region?
Oh, yeah, yeah. Washtenaw County is entirely different.
Okay. All right. But we're looking at the state in its totality here.
This is the state only. Yeah.
All right. So what do you want the state to do with this information? What do you want us to do with it?
Yeah. Well, I think... So the us question is pretty important, it seems to me. The first is for our kids is to really provide them with sort of good information about what jobs pay, because at the moment, as I say, if Don and I were surprised by this, sort of everybody's going to be surprised by this. So we get better information to our kids. The second is none of us as adults should tell kids don't get a four-year degree. I mean, it's their choice whether they pursue it or not, but to discourage them is really not good for our kids or any kids. Kind of.
Because the numbers tell us that you get a four-year degree.
Is the most reliable path to a good paying career.
Okay.
Period.
All right.
I mean, it doesn't mean we don't need carpenters and plumbers and you know, lab techs and all the rest of that stuff. And some of them make good money, but the most reliable path is a 4-year degree. So as a society, I mean, it seems to me that there are two things that matter enormously. One is that we really do need to make sure that we get much better education outcomes for all kids. And secondly is we've got to figure out a way, either through employer mandates or an expanded safety net, to increase the income and particularly health coverage for low-income workers. You got to do both. It's not one or the other.
I want to get back to that in just a moment, but let's talk a little bit about what we've been talking about over the last, I want to say, decade, and that is this idea of not pushing education on our children. We've been talking a lot about trade jobs and beefing those up and allowing students to go into the trades and to take courses that allow you to do that. You're saying that's not the way?
No, I'm not saying that at all. So I think what we are saying is that all kids should learn about both the carpenter and the architect, and it should be their choice whether they pursue one or the other. What's happening at the moment is we're telling affluent kids be the architect and non-affluent kids be the carpenter, and we need to stop doing that. And if you're going to have sort of occupation training programs starting in high school, it should be organized by industry, not by occupation. So you'd have a construction industry program where everybody learns about both the architect and the carpenter, and the kid makes the decision.
I like that. That makes sense to me.
Yeah.
Well, what about all of these STEM programs that are now infused into the curriculum in our schools, the Ann Arbor Public Schools?
Yeah, exactly. And once again, it's not that STEM jobs don't pay well. It's that they're not the only jobs that pay well. So if we're going to have special programs for STEM, which I'm actually, once again, I do the same thing, I think, is I'd organize thing by industry, not by occupation. Kids should have the same choice about all the non-STEM careers. What about the law, the legal system? Because there's as many good paying jobs there, or accounting or business management or even new media, you know, which is an exploding field. Not everybody in new media is a coder, right?
Right.
There's a whole book that got written about how Silicon Valley is now hiring more liberal arts majors than STEM majors because they need all sorts of people who are not coders. We need to let kids understand that those are real options and not keep saying to them, if you don't get a STEM degree, you're going to be a pauper, because it's not true.
So you're calling on the schools, the local school districts, to make some changes, it sounds like.
Yes, absolutely. I mean, I think, here's our assessment of what the education system looks like. I think it's true in Washtenaw County and Ann Arbor too, which is most affluent kids end up in schools that have, when you look at it, kids are in broad liberal arts college prep curriculum. Some of them are in STEM, but most of them aren't, specialization. Where there are a lot of extracurriculars, a lot of electives, where they're building broad, college and career success skills. And a lot of what they're learning are sort of what are called soft skills, which turn out to be really important. Non-affluent kids increasingly are in schools right now that are very narrowly focused around standardized test questions and preparing for a first job. We want all schools to look like the schools that affluent kids are going to. That's if we really want an education system that's preparing all of our kids for good paying careers, it's got to look more like the education for affluent kids than what we have at the moment. Which is building these broad skills rather than narrow skills.
Absolutely. Very interesting. We're talking to Lou Glazer. He is president of Michigan Future. You can access this study, by the way, by going on their website, michiganfuture.org. All right, let's talk now about those employers out there and how those wages you've been talking about, that the majority of people have those jobs, just can't make it on the wages. What can be done about that?
Yeah, so this is like the big mystery, is why when we had the labor shortages that we did in 2019, you and I learned economics that supply and demand sets, and the prices, what balances the two. And for some reason, it sort of hasn't been working in the labor market. Now at the moment where we have real labor shortages, you're seeing wages go up. But the same thing happened in 2000, and then they went right back down. So I mean, we don't have the magic answer. There only seems to us to be two possibilities. One is, the government mandate, like increasing the minimum wage. So that's one option. The second is things like the earned income tax credit, where if you work more, your you get a bigger tax refund kind of those. I mean, other than that, the market's not going to solve this problem. There are just too many industries which have business models that rely on fairly low productive workers that you can't pay $25 an hour.
What if they end up having to shoot up their wages? Isn't it just all going to come full circle because their product, their widget, their whatever also is going to go up in price? How does that solve the issue?
Right. So yeah, that's what we don't know the answer to. So the hope is that when you're paying higher wages, you're also getting higher productivity. I mean, that's been the normal, either by automating or by being able to hire, you know, more capable people who, you know, so that instead of making it up, three cashiers at the McDonald's, you only need two,
right,
you know, whatever kind of thing. So that's one way that it can work. The second is even if prices go up some, people like you and I can afford it are paying those higher prices, as you know, so we end up paying part of the cost of the higher wages, and we can afford it. It's not just the low wage worker who's paying more for the hamburger, right? Mm-hmm. And the other thing is that historically, the proportion of sort of the economic pie that's going to wages is smaller than it has been in quite a while. So more money is, so some of it may be that employers, you know, and small employers have real problems with this, but
right,
larger employers probably don't.
Right.
The small employers are the ones that really have problems with this. Is that maybe the profit margins go back to what they have been historically than the elevated levels they are now. So yes, look, there's the one thing you learn in economics is all of this is trade-offs, right?
You're right.
Yeah.
That's exactly what it is. So one final question for you, Luke Glaser and Michigan Future, and you've got quite a cadre of people on your board, your funders.
We've got a terrific board.
You really do. Are you calling for state government to do anything in particular?
Yeah, so the first thing that we're doing, which I think there's a reasonable chance it's happening, is just to get a bipartisan agreement and codify this change in mission, that economic policy in Michigan is about rising income for all, not just the low unemployment rate. Because once you change the mission and the measures, then, you know, if instead of seeing the unemployment rates 4%, you see that 60% or 55% don't earn enough, that changes the conversation.
Mm-hmm.
In terms of specifics, it is largely safety net and education related that are the specifics that we're starting to talk to legislators about.
It's going to be very interesting to see if the schools follow suit, given this very stunning data that has come out from Michigan Future. Great talking with Lou Glaser, president of Michigan Future. You can go to michiganfuture.org and read that latest study. I'm Lucy Ann Lance, and you are listening to Ann Arbor's Talk Station, 1290 WLBY.